Hi guys, it's Eric RPG, and I'm here with another retrospective series. This time it's Metroid, and today I'll be joined by someone on Twitter who I know, and they used to have their own podcast for a while. Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, my name's Shane. Here with Eric to talk about this game.
Yeah. Game series, but first we're going to talk about Metroid, and then we're going to move on to Metroid 2 and its remakes, and Metroid 3. And, to start with, the original Metroid was released for the Nintendo Famicom Disk System in Japan, developed by Nintendo RD1, which is their main development studio. And apparently Intelligent Systems also worked on the game. But, that might have been a reissue. Or, because I don't... Maybe they had some staff on there. Because I don't think their full staff was there, because they were probably busy working on Fire Emblem at the time. But, this game was like the brainchild of a man named Gunpei Yokoi, who did a lot of stuff, including making the Virtual Boy. But his first game to fame was Kid Icarus, which had a lot of elements that are shared with this game. You could say it was a prototype of sorts, because even though the game was split between side-scrolling action levels, like every other level would be like a maze area. And in Metroid, you go around a lot of very complex and confusing labyrinths. And it didn't make it easy to go through when there are points in the game where you could just get stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, no map, anything like that. And honestly, there are parts that just seemed like they were endless.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't make it easier when the North American release didn't have battery backup format. And you needed to enter a code to, like, force the game into a game over so it would give you a password. Because, like, otherwise, you'd have to kill yourself to get a password.
Yeah.
It's kind of like doing the, like, force save in the original Zelda. Excuse me, I need to grab tissue. I'm gonna blow my
sure.
nose. Sorry for the dead air. But, anyways, the game had two main bosses that you had to kill before you could open up the final area. But along the way, you'd find various power-ups that were permanent upgrades. Oh, I think Frank might join us. He's finally responded.
Okay.
But once he joins, gets on Skype, we could add him. But, anyways, oh, he's texted me. Sorry, I need to silence my phone. And I'll just answer this real quick. But,
sure.
If you want to talk a little bit more, you can, while I
yeah.
take care of this.
Alright, so, yeah, Metroid, I want to say, I think it was like 9 years old when Metroid came out. And, you know, I had the NES for, you know, a couple years at that point. And had never heard of it, right? It was, I mean, back then you just kind of word of mouth, or, you know, you saw a game with a cool box art or something like that. And my mom took me to the store and she was like, okay, you can pick out a game. And I'm standing there and I'm holding a copy of Kid Icarus in one hand, and I'm holding a copy of Metroid in the other. And I just like, which one to get? And I chose Metroid. And I've always been super glad I made that choice. I didn't play Kid Icarus until later on, but I just absolutely fell in love with Metroid pretty much from the beginning. It's just that openness to it, you can kind of go where you want at the beginning. You know, the doors are blocked off and, you know, you need missiles and various, you know, to get through to certain doors. But just that openness, it was something that I, at the time, just wasn't used to in games. And so, yeah, and it was one of those things, just like spent so much time playing it, and then a couple friends got it, and then it's just trying to like decipher all the secrets, find all the items. And like I mentioned earlier, it had that real like infinite feel to it, you know, especially without a map. You could get, you feel like real deep down into the environment, and you think that you've found a new location, or you found a new, you know, just, it had so many dead ends that would have like one little item hidden somewhere. And that was just, even after playing like Legend of Zelda, there was just something about Metroid that was just a little bit different, and just it helped fuel my love of that whole genre, the Metroidvania genre. It's the popular name for it.
Yeah, like in Japan, they had another term called search action, because it's two words, searching and action, combat. But very simple, but I guess it's effective. It's probably the best way to describe it without actually saying anything about the game itself, though. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't like either of the terms, but it's kind of, they're kind of both here to stay, because nobody else can really describe these kind of games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Metroidvania, I think that's really like, it kind of shoehorns a title, or pigeonholes a title, I guess, or the genre. Mm-hmm. When, especially, I know we're talking about Metroid, but like nowadays, it means so much more. So like, I'm not a fan of that phrase either.
Like, people call the latter-day Castlevania games made by Iga, along with Bloodstained, Metroidvanias, even though what he was trying to do was emulate the feel of The Legend of Zelda 2. Which, I guess it's more of I don't know, I guess you'd call it a Zeldaroid then?
I like that. Yeah, Zeldaroid.
But anyways, we were talking about like how you'd go and get power ups, and like the different power ups would include stuff like oh wait, Frank's here. Let me add him to the call.
All right.
I got so many people on my list. I have to sift through them all. Why can't I add him to the call? I don't know what's going on here. I might... No, I don't want to think about that. That's... Okay, Skype's doing it weird. But I think I've got him. Are you Frank?
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, there he is.
Hey. What's going on, guys?
My recording's going to be split into two, but that's fine. But, because I deleted all my other files, so it'll be easy to find.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Eric, man. I had, a heck of a day today. What are we talking? Metroid?
Yeah. We're on the Metroid 1.
Oh, the first Metroid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, is there any specific memories you'd want to talk about Metroid with you?
Yeah, actually. Metroid, for me, the very first one was the first... kind of like game where you had that real sense of isolation, plus it had a wicked twist at the end. Nobody knew that the character you were playing was female, so it was a big shock. I mean, although it really shouldn't have been.
Well, it didn't help that the North American instruction booklet describes Samus Aran as a man.
I know. That's true. But great,
even they didn't know, apparently.
Yeah. And I kind of like the exploration aspect of that game.
Or it was intentional to just psych us out.
Yeah. Good. I mean, fairly good game.
Like maybe like I'm getting a headcanon in my head where like she had a pitch changer that made her sound kind of like Boba Fett in an obscure voice. Everybody just assumed that she was a man.
Right, right. No, I like the first Metroid. It's kind of hard to go back to now, but, you know, for the time, pretty damn good game. And the power-up, you know, system in that game was, you know, kind of unique for the time.
There's also another twist in the game where, upon defeating the final boss, there's a self-destruct sequence where you have to escape.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a ton of fun, too. That was kind of a shock to the system at the very end, too.
Also, the Metroids, like, absolutely cannot be killed unless you freeze them first. So, and, like, unfortunately, unlike later entries in the series where they stack multiple gun upgrades together, you only stuck with one at a time.
Yeah, if you went into the final area with a wave beam, you were kind of boned. You couldn't kill those Metroids.
Yeah. Also great for its music, right? I mean,
a lot of haunting melodies.
Yeah, little haunting melodies throughout the whole.
Even though the first area is kind of like happy-go-lucky, and it's like this is creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of set the tone for the rest of the series, I'd say.
Yeah, I think that title screen music is just, I can hear it in my head right now. As soon as you mentioned music, that's just what started going off in my brain.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff, man. Absolutely one of the great franchises going for sure. First Metroid, if you try to revisit the first Metroid now, it's really hard. I tried going back to it. And
the game has like almost no invincibility frames, so you can just get bodied into death in the game sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And using the screw attack was a risky proposition because of that.
Yeah, unforgiving game for sure. You know, it's not for you know, beginners. You'd have to have a little bit of skill to play that game for sure.
And I think the health power ups like that. Like to give your health back up, which were just sparse. And if you like, because I don't know if it's because of the password system, maybe it works differently in the Famicom Disk version. But like every time you'd restart a game, you'd have a portion of your health missing, just like Legend of Zelda did, and you'd have to recover it back.
Yeah, didn't you would just start at your base 99 if I remember correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, damn, it's been a while since I played that game.
And there's like a maximum number of energy tanks you can get. So I think the extras are there for you to just get a quick refill.
Yeah, that's another really cool aspect of that game that's kind of underrated is like, you know, a lot of it was backtracking. You know, you'd have to backtrack. You'd see like a power-up that you couldn't quite get, and you'd figure it out later, you know. And, you know, now people, it's kind of a meme. People don't really like the backtracking. But in those games, definitely not mind a little bit of backtracking at all.
And, like, I don't know if you still think this, Frank, but didn't you say at one point that you considered the game an RPG series?
Yeah, I did because of the... actually, I said that about Zelda, but if you think about Metroid... I mean, what are you doing but powering up? You know, it's
kind of... Yeah, it assumes a traditional level-up system. There are no towns and quests to do, but...
Right, right. Yeah. No, for sure. It definitely has, like, some bare-bone RPG mechanics, for sure. Same thing with Zelda.
And if you think about its later influences, like how I'd make the suggestion that Dark Souls was inspired by Metroid's open-ended design a little bit. It's still linear, but still open enough to let you explore and do things. And, like, there's certain things you just can't do until you get certain items.
Yeah, it's kind of an illusion game, right? Like you do explore in that game quite a bit, but it's mostly about finding the power-up that you need to get to that next stage of the game, for sure.
Yeah, I always felt like it does a good job of funneling you in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have two ways to go. One way's a missile door, and those missiles are the other way.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been, like, various ROM hacks that this game made to hell. And, like, some of them, like, had, like, quality of life things that would have been nice back when they were originally released. Like, an overhead map system like Super Metroid uses. That requires some, like, Lua scripting, but, like, people have done it. And then there's, like, the HD, like, version of the game that up-reses the textures of the game and actually puts a background into the screen to make it a little bit more modern, and which is, it's kind of weird, but, like, I'd much rather play Zero Mission, which is the remake of this game. And, like, one of the things I liked about Zero Mission was, Kraid is a big giant monster now instead of the tiny little thing you fight. And when you think you've beaten the game, there's a second act where you lose your armor and you have to regain it again.
Yeah, the old trick where they take everything away from you and you have to regain all that stuff again. Yeah,
it's also sort of a reference to the code you could put into the game for the NES version that has a suitless Samus.
So you're jumping ahead to Fusion then, for the Advance, right?
No, we're gonna do that in a later update because I want to cover Fusion and Dread, like, together along with the spinoff games.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
We're just covering the first three games and the remakes involved in those.
Okay.
But that's a lot. That's enough for Metroid, though. But unless you want to talk about the plot, which I don't, but there's not much of one.
No. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
you're on a planet. And you have to kill the Metroids. It's basically the screen crawl that basically puts out a text dump right at the beginning of the game if you let it sit for a while. That's basically the plot of the game.
Yeah. They flesh it out a little bit later, but you're right. Not much to talk about except your, you know.
And then we're moving on to Metroid 2. It's basically the same deal, but the plot now is, like, well, there's more of these things on their home planet, and you got to kill all of them. Almost kind of like it's taking even more direct inspiration from Aliens because you're playing as a woman. And you gotta get rid of this alien infestation. And one of the monsters is even named Ridley, based off Ridley Scott.
Yeah, I think that was actually in the first Metroid, we see Ridley. Yeah. And definitely.
There's no Ridley in 2, but there are different Metroids, and they are mutating, including a queen that you have to fight at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember much from Metroid 2. I know I played Metroid 2 a little bit on the Game Boy, but I don't, you know, that's not a super memorable game for me. Did you play it, Eric?
Yeah. It was one of the first Game Boy games I had when I got a Game Boy. And it's much better designed, but it's still just a go here and kill them Metroids there and there and there type of deal. But it did introduce us to the spacer, so it made gunplay a little bit easier. Although a lot of those Metroids were bullet sponges, basically.
I played it. I played Metroid 2 way later, maybe in the last decade was the first time I really touched Metroid 2, and I fell off super hard. So I honestly don't have a lot to say about it. I just kind of. It was not what I was looking for in that type of game.
Yeah,
the remakes are much better.
The black and white aesthetic, I think, is what kind of turned me off. I mean, a lot of Game Boy games, sadly, for me, were kind of lost in time just based on that fact alone. I think
there was a Game Boy Color version of the game planned, and it just didn't pan out. But thankfully, the color palette for the game that the Super Game Boy used was actually pretty decent. And I think even the Game Boy Color, it's like, you could switch between different modes. The default one, though, was pretty decent itself, but it didn't have as much going on there. But the remakes of the Metroid 2 would be the official one, which Nintendo did, or Nintendo commissioned Mercury Steam to do. They did the Lords of Shadow games. A lot of people were iffy because the Lords of Shadow games were not very good. I mean, they're fun enough, but, like, they weren't worth the money that they were asking for when they originally released. And even today, as cheap as they are now, there's other things you could be playing instead. Mm. And the story of those games is just kind of a mess.
Oh, they made Clive Barker's Jericho also. I didn't know that. That game was kind of all over the place too.
But like, they finally made a game where, thanks to probably some supervision by Yoshio Sakamoto, who was the longtime director for the series after Gunpei's initial run with the first game, and as well as the rest of Nintendo, probably making sure they don't screw up too much, and then just giving the chance and the time, the budget to make a game that's decent. So they finally made something worthwhile, and Dread's all the much better for it, because all the things they wanted to do in Samus Returns were done much better in Dread.
So is that what you're saying, that Dread is a remake of 2 then?
No, Dread's just some of the ideas they had for Dread were just more fleshed out.
Gotcha.
But the other remake was an unofficial one called Another Metroid Remake, or AM2R.
Oh, I remember. I never got a chance to play that, but that looked really good.
And that one, people say it basically played more like Super Metroid, but if you actually looked at it, it played more like Fusion Zero Mission, and it even used a lot of assets from those games. Or at least, it used them as a reference point. I don't think they actually used any assets, but maybe they did. Maybe that's why Nintendo pulled it down. But then again, Nintendo would probably pull it down anyway. Because like,
yeah, they're really good at doing that.
Yeah. But there was another fan remake that never got fully realized. It was called I think it was called SR 388, or whatever the name of the planet that the Metroids were called, and it actually did use the Super Metroid engine, or assets from that game at least, because it was pretty bulky. But I was kind of interested to see where it went, but nothing ever came of it, and they kind of just went into dead silence after a while. And the only reason I knew about it is because someone on Destructoid posted about it in one of their blogs. And it was pretty much the only way I knew of how to get there, because I couldn't search it up on a search engine. Unless it was through that article. And it's kind of a shame, but oh well. So that's Metroid 2. Metroid 3, Super Metroid, was probably where the series hit its biggest stride and had the most cult classic success. Unfortunately, I think that's also kind of the series undoing. It was the series undoing for a while, because people had high expectations for every game that came out afterwards.
Yeah, Super Metroid's a super, super high bar, to be honest with you. I don't know how you guys feel, but I can go back to Super Metroid right now and still play the crap out of that game. I hold that game in super high regard. I think it's top 10 greatest game of all time, right off the top of my head, no doubt.
I agree with that 100%. I honestly, I think it is the best Super Nintendo game, and I would almost go as far as to say I think it's the best game Nintendo's ever put out. It's just everything about it. It's as borderline perfect a game as can possibly exist.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there are too many flaws. That's something that we as gamers kind of.
I'm in agreement. I could still enjoy it very immensely, but I could also see where it is finally starting to show its age. But the fact that it took this long is a testament to how good it was.
Yeah, that's a great point, Eric. I mean, I think we're too hard on games sometimes, and there is no such thing as a perfect game. You know, I mean, there's games like Metroid which are perfect in a way that there's not much, you know, flaws to its logic and in within its code, but it's not like.
Well, I don't know. It's perfectly imperfect, because there's so many ways to sequence break in the game that probably weren't intended.
Well, right, but you understand what I'm saying, Eric. It's another game like that is Pac-Man. You know, Pac-Man's almost a perfect game as well. Now, is it like technically one of the greatest games ever? Probably not. It's, you know, it's a great achievement, no doubt. But Metroid, Super Metroid, I mean, it ticked all the boxes, right? Had the music, had the updated graphics, had the exploration, had the power ups, had the exciting story. I mean, in retrospect, I mean, that's what games are all about, right?
And the best thing about Super Metroid for me was that Samus finally had some degree of agency because she had an inner monologue at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, stuff like that, those little, I hesitate to say vignettes, but those little, you know, little scenes where, you, like you said, like you get that little bit of dialogue, inner dialogue, you get the screenshots of, you know, her isolation. I mean, for me, I agree. I think it's just, it may very well be one of Nintendo's finest achievements to this day.
The world just felt alive, too. Like you felt like you were on this planet, and even though you were alone, like you just it felt like it was structured in a right. You know, it just didn't seem random. Like, oh, this, you know, Norfair made sense. You know, Brimstar, like everything was just where it was supposed to be, and like you just really felt like you were on a planet, not playing a game. You know what I mean? Like it just had that feeling to it.
Right. There's very few games that do that. I kind of. The other time I had feelings like what you were just explaining is BioShock, right? Where you were just in a complete different world, like just away from everything. That kind of, it just kind of took you away from your everyday life. And when you were playing that game, you were in Brinstar. You were in, you know, all these different areas of that game, and you never really felt like you couldn't get to the next level. You know, you couldn't get to the next area. You always had that sense of, okay, if I get this power up, maybe I can go here. You know, I'm kind of a badass. I mean, because I mean, Samus is a complete badass, right? One of the coolest badasses in all of video gamedom.
Oh yeah,
in my opinion.
Also, yeah. I like the tiny details in the game where, like, if you're in like Meridia in that one area before it gets all wet and everything, and all the ground's wet, and as you're running through the area, you can see the little splashes of water happen. Or if you're in Norfair, like, there's lighting effects.
Yeah.
And like, and the Samus's suit is shinier than usual because all the light's being reflected from the lava.
Yeah, I really like the power ups in the game as well, which just amped up everything, you know, previous to the two games to just a complete another level. Really awesome.
I want to go back to what you said about, you know, feeling like a badass, and Samus was a badass. Like, you know, power-ups and everything definitely have something to do with that. But just the controls, like, you could make her do, like, crazy things. And it was just because the controls were tight. Like, they worked, you know, responsive. Like, everything was just on point.
Yeah,
you could even mix beams and like use power bombs to create different effects with those beams if you wanted. And those are things that the game itself didn't tell you. You had to discover it.
Yeah, Eric, you'd mentioned that game was actually really ahead of its time. I mean, very, very rarely do you get a game that's, I mean, what year did that come out?
94.
Yeah. Yeah, 94. I mean, very rarely do you get a game that's, you know, well over 20 that you can go back to and say, wow, I can still play this. You know, it still feels right, like what you were saying. It just feels right, you know. Such a good game, man. I mean, I have nothing but praise for that game. In fact, Eric, I think when we did the greatest games of all time, I think Super Metroid made it to the top four, if I'm not mistaken. It's such a good game. Great game.
I think it was beat out by Chrono Trigger, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think, that's another banger for sure.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger. What could you say? But
you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how old both of you are, but when Super Metroid came out, there was a big UPS strike going on, the Teamsters strike, and it was impossible to find it in stores. It just wasn't out there, and it was like I was calling Software Etc., Babbage's, Toys R Us, KB Toys, like every day, and they're like, "Nope, still hasn't come in." And like when they finally said, "Yeah, we got it," it was like, "It's it. Let's go get it." And
I remember that actually. The only way that I could play this game when it came out is I actually rented it from a place called Buyback Games here in Denver. So, yeah, I do remember.
I actually went to a Buyback and bought it years later.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I managed to pick it up for, like, I think less than $30 at that point.
That's a great deal.
Yeah. You know
the... Yeah, it was, like, cartridge only, but, like, it still had the slipcase to protect the cartridge from dust.
Yeah, the crazy thing, the battery in that game, I think I still have a copy where the original battery still works.
After all. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of technology was used for those batteries back in the day, but there are some that still work. I mean, you can replace them, but the original battery was still working last time I checked.
I had to have been 11 when I played this game. Because I think Earthbound came out the year afterwards, and I got that when I was around 12.
Yeah, that's another rare game to have on the Super Nintendo. Hard to find, but I do remember that shortage. By the way, very hard to find. I didn't buy that game till a little bit later, but good game, Super Metroid. Yeah. I mean, like I said. I conservatively top 10, if I really had to think about it, probably would be a top 5 game for me, for sure.
Now I'm wondering, I wonder if Mercury Steam is, like, gonna remake another game. Like, are they gonna remake Fusion, or are they gonna remake this? What will happen first?
Man, I'd love to see a Super Metroid remake, for sure.
Man, that's some big shoes to fill.
I know.
Some really big shoes to fill if they remade it.
Yeah, I mean... Whoever takes on that project would be trying to akin to climbing a mountain, you know, a 14,000 foot mountain for sure.
But So I do want to ask. I know that, you know, Super Metroid speedruns are a thing, right? And people just constantly, you know, it's a big thing. Have you guys ever watched a reverse boss order speedrun?
Yeah,
those are nuts. Mm-hmm. When I first saw one of those, that just blew my mind.
Yeah, those guys are so good, man.
I've only managed to get 100% and beat the game under 3 hours at least twice in my life.
Yeah, that's not happening with me. Slow and easy. I'll enjoy the game. I don't want to add the stress of a timer in my head for any of this stuff.
Yeah, I've definitely done 100%, but I like that slow and steady. Take my time.
Yeah, yeah. And why wouldn't you with a game like this?
It's kind of funny, though. It's like you end up getting so many missiles, and like you only use about like a third of them at most near the end of the game.
Yeah, or if you're like me, you run out at inopportune times, and you're like, "How the hell did I run out?" Yeah, great game though. And wasn't this the one where they kind of was this the game where? No, I think it was the remake of one. Where you get to the final boss, the brain, and you think it's over because you remember
that's the first game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a remake of the first game you're talking about.
Yeah, that was, what was that, Fusion? Zero Mission, yeah. I knew it was one of them, but just a shocker of an ending, but a great little update to that.
And this game got its own comic that was published in Nintendo Power. I think it was 6 chapters long.
I can't believe you remember that, Eric. Yeah. I do remember that because I used to get Nintendo Power. But yeah, that's pretty awesome, man.
And it was like this. Oh. I think it was maybe the same artist that did the artwork for the North American Nintendo Power artwork for the Link to the Past. But I could be wrong about that.
Mm.
But As far as like where you can go to play some of these games, if you want to track down expensive cartridges, you can knock yourself out. But if you don't want, if you're not of rich blood, you can always get emulated versions officially on places like the Wii U Virtual Console, because the WiiWare is shut down. That's the only other place you can get it, and even that's shutting down soon. But the NES Online and the SNES Switch Online for the Nintendo Switch Online service do offer the first and third games.
Yeah, yeah. Sadly, they don't offer the second, but I think it's
on the 3DS Virtual Console, but again, that's shutting down at the end of this year. Somewhere in the beginning of next year, they're shutting it down.
I would think maybe with the success of Dread, that remake, the Part 2 remake, maybe gets ported to Switch?
Yeah, I mean, it takes some tweaking because the game was designed with two screens in mind, but
right.
that all you have to do for that was probably provide an overlay for the map or something.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be too tough. I think they could easily provide that.
And I felt like that game should have been released on an HD console. But the only thing Nintendo was really selling at the time was the 3DS, so that's why it went there. So, that's it for the first three Metroid games. Join me next week when I'll probably have someone else, and we'll be talking about the Prime games, unless you want to join that too, Frank.
I could definitely talk some Prime. I don't want to spoil it, but I definitely have high regard for Metroid Prime as well.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about Metroid Prime and Other M.
Okay, yeah, I could talk about both of those games, especially Metroid Prime.
And we'll even talk about the two spin-off games that are related to Metroid Prime.
Okay, yeah, I can talk about most of those. Mm. Yeah,
but
for
until
sure.
Next time, see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.